Hey, it's Brad Milkey, host of ABC's daily news podcast, Start Here. And I'm honored to say Start Here, along with several ABC audio projects, are up for Webby Awards. Voting is open to the public, and we're all really excited about these awards, but this vote closes on Thursday. So please don't wait. You can go to abcaudio.com/webbies. That's abcaudio.com/webbies, W-E-B-B-Y-S, to cast your vote for Start Here, along with other ABC news shows. We really appreciate it.
Good morning, America. So great to have you with us. We have a lot to cover as we start this Sunday morning, including some breaking news out of Ukraine. Missile strikes hitting Kyiv. Smoke and flames rising from badly damaged residential buildings. Rescue teams pulling a young girl from the rubble.
The strike's happening as President Biden joins other G7 leaders in Germany. The group, in a show of unity, agreeing to ban imports on gold from Russia, further isolating the country.
We will get to that in a moment, but we do start here at home with the new protests following the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade. As of this morning, more than 31 million Americans are living in states where abortion bans are in effect. And those states are likely to be joined in the coming weeks by more than a dozen others in outlawing abortion. We start our coverage with ABC's Devin Dwyer at the Supreme Court. Devin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Janae. It's quiet here at the Supreme Court today, but a scramble is underway nationwide to shore up abortion access as a growing number of states are now enforcing those strict new abortion bans with few exceptions.
Hey, Papa, abortion ban!
This morning, a divided America.
My body!
Sounding off over the Supreme Court.
I think that it's very important for women and anyone who can have kids to have control over when they have their kids.
At a rally in Illinois, former President Trump celebrating the justices he appointed to overturn Roe v. Wade.
This breakthrough is the answer to the prayers of millions and millions of people.
While in Mississippi, which led the case that took down Roe, deep sadness setting in at the state's only abortion clinic left, which could close in 8 days. Jackson Women's Health has been a refuge for predominantly low-income and minority women like Nicole, who we met last year when she came for an abortion.
You don't want to bring it. You're scared. And it's just not something that my husband and I are ready for. We're just not ready yet.
8 states this morning now have abortion bans in force, with 18 more likely to ban or severely restrict abortion in the weeks ahead.
And that abortion has, you know, significant consequences. Adoption is an option. It's a beautiful and noble decision.
President Biden vowing to ensure those states don't violate federal law.
Like deciding not to allow people to cross state lines to get public health services.
Democratic governors signing measures to shore up protection for abortion care.
We will stand for every single person to the fullest extent of the law.
Stand up for that!
Some grassroots groups are gearing up to help people defy abortion bans.
We're going to make sure any person who needs an abortion is going to get one. Did you hear me? We're going to make sure any person that needs an abortion will have what they need.
Others pointing them to online providers, including foreign doctors who will prescribe the abortion pill to women in the U.S., even if their state law prohibits it.
I will review her case and send my prescription to her and to a pharmacy in India that can fill my prescription, and then it's sent from India. I am acting according to the medical ethical guidelines and the laws of the countries where I'm based.
Now, Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is inviting American women to seek abortions north of the border where it's legal nationwide. 16 states plus D.C. have laws explicitly protecting abortion here in the United States. Clinics this morning in those states are reporting a surge in calls from women seeking appointments, willing to travel. Meanwhile, here at the Supreme Court, more major decisions expected tomorrow. Whit?
All right, Devin, thank you. And turning to President Biden at the G7 summit in Germany, but still facing questions about the abortion battle back home. A group of Senate Democrats now urging him to take action. ABC's chief White House correspondent Cecilia Vega joins us from Austria with more. Cecilia, good morning.
Heywood, good morning to you. It's day one of these meetings here with allies in the Alps, but I got to tell you, it really is that history unfolding back at home that is hanging over this entire summit. You heard the president say just before he left the United States that he thinks the Supreme Court has made some terrible decisions lately. He says this is going to be the issue for the midterms. But this morning, he has taken some heat from even some members of his own party. Take a look at this. We've got 34 Senate Democrats, you just mentioned, writing this letter to the president, calling on him to take immediate action to use the full force of the federal government to protect access to abortion in the United States. They go on to say there is no time to waste, writing, you have the power to fight back and lead a national response to this devastating decision. So we call on you to take every step available to your administration. You know, so far, the administration has said this. Take a look, that it will protect the right to cross state lines. It will protect the right to obtain the abortion pill, that it will protect federal agencies and employees who carry out reproductive health services from any criminal or civil liability. We have been talking about this, though. There's nothing the president can do in terms of an executive order that would restore the rights that Roe had in place. But certainly right now, this morning here, that call for him to do more is hanging over this summit as he kicks it off with.
Yeah, this battle far from over. And Cecilia, while we have you here, of course, President Biden is there for the G7 summit. We know Russia's invasion of Ukraine also topping the agenda as he sits down with allies.
Exactly. In fact, he just wrapped not too long ago his very first meeting of the morning with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. And a big theme that the president talked about in that meeting is keeping allies united. But here we could already be starting to see some cracks. The United States announced today that it, along with some other allies, is going to ban Russian gold imports. That's just another attempt to further exclude Russia from the global economy, gold being Russia's second largest export. But I got to tell you what, so far a number of allies have not signed on to that. Eva, the president right now hoping that others do, but they are working this week to send this theme out, this message out, that they want these allies to stay united, especially when it comes to sanctions and military aid. Eva.
Cecilia Vega for us there in Austria. Thank you, Cecilia. Now to the protests across the country in response to the Supreme Court ruling. ABC's Aaron Katursky joins us with the latest. Good morning to you, Aaron.
Eva, good morning to you. Police have already been worried about extremist threats to pride marches like the one today here in New York City. Now they fear Friday's abortion ruling is only adding fuel to the fire.
Many protests across the country this weekend following the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade reversal were largely peaceful, but it's incidents like these that have law enforcement officials on high alert. An off-duty Providence, Rhode Island police officer who's running for office as a Republican, seen here punching his Democratic opponent at an abortion protest. That officer is now suspended and dropping out of his race. In Arizona, police used tear gas to disperse abortion rights protesters who breached the state capitol. And in Iowa, a pickup truck driver allegedly struck an abortion rights demonstrator after an argument. The concern from federal law enforcement officials is that extremists on the far left and the far right are seizing this divisive moment to incite violence.
We are seeing in chatter online and domestic violent extremist spaces that indicate both white nationalists, anti-government extremists view this as a target of opportunity.
In a bulletin obtained by ABC News, the Department of Homeland Security said the abortion ruling could spur violence for weeks, with abortion providers, churches, and judges most at risk.
One of my biggest fears is that somebody else would lose their life or their loved one.
Judge Esther Salas, whose son was murdered in the family's New Jersey home by a man targeting her, has been urging Congress to take action to protect judges.
We know that my son would expect nothing more than for us to not only survive in this world, but he wants us to thrive.
Now, Congress has passed legislation to protect Supreme Court justices and their families, but no amount of security can compensate for the hostility that's now coursing through the country. And Janae, it's not just the abortion ruling. The Supreme Court's concealed carry decision has led to calls on the far right for protesters to arrive armed. Janae.
You said it right, Aaron. That's so much hostility. Well, turning now to a look at what could be the next battleground, the abortion pill. The U.S. Attorney General saying states cannot ban the drugs, while some states are already trying to limit access to them. Joining us now is ABC News contributor Kate Shaw, professor of constitutional law at Cardozo Law School. Kate, thanks so much for being with us. After Friday's ruling, Attorney General Garland made a point of saying that states can't ban the abortion pill based on disagreement with the FDA's judgment and its safety and efficacy. That sounds like a qualified statement. Do states have legal grounds to ban the abortion pill?
Well, Janae, I think it's clear that the abortion pills, and that's a two-pill sequence that's approved for terminating early pregnancies up to about 10 weeks, is going to be a very important part of the post-Roe landscape. So the FDA has approved these pills for terminating early pregnancies, and it has approved them being delivered by mail. But of course, some states are going to seek to prevent their citizens from obtaining those pills and using those pills by mail. In a word, it's unclear sort of what the legal status of the FDA's approval and its interaction with state attempts to ban these pills will look like in the courts. The idea is something called preemption. If there's a direct conflict between state and federal law is supposed to preempt the state law. And I presume the Federal Department of Justice will sue states if they seek to prohibit access to the abortion pills, claiming that the federal law basically supersedes the state law. Yeah. But the Supreme Court is going to have to weigh in on this. It's a complex body of law, and the Supreme Court is pretty hostile to abortion rights. And so I think it's anybody's guess how that legal dispute will play out in the U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay, and Planned Parenthood says that it's going to challenge the court to challenge Utah's trigger law. How likely is that to succeed?
What the United States Supreme Court decided in the Dobbs decision on Friday when it overturned Roe was that the federal constitution doesn't protect a right to abortion. But it didn't say anything about what state constitutions say. And of course, every state has its own constitution. And so what Planned Parenthood is saying is the Utah constitution protects a right to abortion, even if the federal constitution doesn't. And the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't get to control what the Utah constitution means. That's for Utah judges to decide. And this is a strategy abortion advocates have used in other states, even states like Kansas. Those courts have found that the state constitution protects a right to abortion, again, whatever the federal constitution is understood to do. And so that's, I think, where a lot of these legal fights are going to shift to state courts and state constitutions.
But it is certain that the fight is not over.
No.
Kate, thank you so much for
thank
joining
you,
us. And just a reminder to tune into a special edition of This Week later this morning following that landmark Supreme Court ruling. Martha Raddatz goes one-on-one with South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem and Senator Elizabeth Warren, leading voices on both sides of the issue on the future of reproductive rights in America. Plus, January 6th committee member Representative Jamie Raskin on the latest from the hearings and the breakthrough deal on guns. Whit.
Janae, now to Ukraine, where airstrikes hit a residential neighborhood in Kyiv. Rescue missions going on as people were reported trapped in the rubble there. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge spoke to the city's mayor and joins us with more. Tom, good morning to you.
Good morning, Whit. Look at the destruction up there. People were probably still asleep in their beds when the missiles rained down this morning. With President Biden in Europe, Putin is ramping up his attacks on Ukraine.
This morning, a dramatic rescue operation on the top floor of this apartment building after a devastating missile strike in the heart of Kyiv. Rescue workers winched up. Incredibly, someone is alive but trapped high in the rubble.
We're just hearing that a woman in her 30s is trapped up there. It's remarkable she survived. Look at the damage to the top of the building. And now it's a race against time to get her out.
And then this, the woman brought out, trapped for hours but conscious. She was living in Kyiv, but this Ukrainian official saying this is her Russian passport. Earlier, a young girl also rescued from the building. Local officials saying multiple rockets struck this area. One man is missing, feared dead. Kyiv's mayor, former heavyweight boxer Klitschko, accusing Putin of targeting civilians and using the G word.
It's genocide of Ukrainian population. Genocide of Ukraine.
Russia hitting multiple regions of Ukraine with dozens of missile strikes so far this weekend. Putin seeming to send a message as President Biden gathers with other G7 leaders. Biden this morning meeting the host, the leader of Germany.
Putin has been counting on from the beginning that somehow NATO would and the G7 would splinter, but we haven't. And we're not going to.
And this ahead of a key NATO summit on Tuesday, with new countries, Sweden and Finland, hoping to join the alliance.
Well, Russia is taking territory in its offensive in the east of Ukraine. But this is the other side of Putin's offensive in this country. Civilian buildings are being hit and people are being killed every day across Ukraine. Eva.
Tom Sufi Burridge for us there in Ukraine. Thank you. Well, now to Texas and the final school massacre victim laid to rest in Uvalde. The funeral coming as more parents are speaking out about the police response to the shooting and as hearings resume tomorrow. ABC's Marcus Moore has more from Dallas.
A month later, Kimberly and Angel Garcia are still yearning for answers.
I just miss her.
Like, I just start talking about her, and it's just so hard just to know that I don't have her anymore.
10-year-old Amari Jo Garza was one of the 19 children killed in Uvalde May 24th, along with two of their beloved teachers. Like so many other desperate parents, her stepfather, Angel, a medic, quickly responded to calls for help that day at Robb Elementary.
I don't get how you can listen to those kids and not go save them.
There are also calls for accountability over the law enforcement response to the massacre. And since the shooting, much of the focus in the public has been placed squarely on School District Police Chief Pete Arredondo. Arredondo has defended his actions and said in an interview that he didn't consider himself the commanding officer on the scene that day.
There's so many officers at that school, and they were so busy trying to keep us away.
What do you want us to know about Amari?
She always made sure that people knew that they had a friend.
Amari's family now cherishing the art she crafted with her innocent hands that now bring comfort to their grieving hearts. Angel writing this open letter to Amari after her death.
I know with the talent you had, my love, you could have gone anywhere. It hurts me the most that I won't get to see who you would have become.
Family members describe Amari Jo this morning as a brave child and a natural protector. In fact, they say she was trying to call 911 before she was shot and killed. And so for this 10-year-old girl, even in her final moments, she was thinking about others, trying to help her friends and her teachers. Guys.
Incredible, and our hearts are still with all of those families and that community impacted. Marcus, thank you so much.
Turning now to the travel outlook for the 4th of July weekend. If this weekend's airport crowds are any indication, it's going to be a very busy holiday. The TSA saying its screeners handled almost 2.5 million travelers on Friday alone, the most since before the pandemic. ABC's transportation correspondent Gio Benitez has more on how you can beat the travel crush.
The so-called Summer of Revenge travel is underway. More than 11 million people will take to the skies over the July 4th holiday, and a record 42 million will hit the roads.
Far more people are going to go this year by car than ever before. And that's surprising given how expensive it is right now with these high gas prices.
But the holiday comes after weeks of travel chaos at airports, bad weather, and staffing issues at U.S. airlines, leading to thousands of cancellations. And it's a risk Matt Fall isn't willing to take. He's driving from Cincinnati to Orlando to avoid any travel headaches.
I would rather have a guaranteed vacation and spend a little more time getting there than risk not having a vacation because my flight gets canceled.
With gas averaging $5 a gallon for regular nationwide, what might a road trip cost? Well, just for gas, a road trip from New York City to Miami could cost just over $270 round trip. Now, that doesn't include tolls and any overnight stays. Round trip airfare on that same route could cost about $100 more.
Even with our increased gas prices right now, when you figure out how much you're spending on an airline ticket compared to the amount of gas it takes to travel to that location, it might be break even.
Experts say it's important to plan ahead. You can avoid heavy traffic by leaving early in the day, and the first flight out is the most likely to leave on time. But if you're worried your plans could change, travel insurance can provide some peace of mind. Beth Godlin runs a travel insurance company.
Travel insurance is designed to protect against the unforeseen and the unexpected. Take a look at the benefits that you're most interested in. Take a look at what's excluded.
And remember, if your plans change, the airlines still aren't charging for a change fee, so take advantage of that. In most cases, you can either rebook, you can get a voucher, and you'll only have to pay the difference in fare for the new flight. Guys.
All right, Gio, thank you so much. Well, alternatives to abortion. Following the historic Supreme Court decision, we'll look at the services available for women who carry their babies to term.
And growing debt starting to be a major problem for many Americans. The advice for your finances coming up. We'll be right back.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit. Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, aviators. This is your captain speaking.
And we're off.
Welcome back to GMA on this Sunday morning. Top Gun Maverick has taken off all right. After 5 weeks in the theaters, the movie is expected to reach the $1 billion with a B dollar mark at the worldwide box office this week. Maverick has already become the highest grossing film of Tom Cruise's 40-year-long career.
Amazing. I liked your cinematic voice off the top, too.
Yeah,
it was nice.
That was my excitement.
One man, one mission. Top Gun Maverick in theaters. Okay, we do have a lot of other stories to get to this morning, including the top headlines we're following right now. And police have identified the man who shot three people, killing one of them at a WeatherTech warehouse in a Chicago suburb Saturday morning. Authorities have arrested 27-year-old Charles McKnight, a temp employee at the warehouse who shot fellow employees after allegedly stealing a watch and wallet from them.
Also right now, Costco is recalling some solar-powered patio umbrellas after reports of the umbrellas catching fire. The Consumer Product Safety Commission urging everyone to immediately stop using the Sun Villa 10-foot solar LED market umbrella. They say those umbrellas can be returned to Costco for a full refund.
And President Biden has signed the Keep Kids Fed Act, which extends universal free meals for school children through the end of the summer. The existing bill was due to expire on Thursday. The legislation was a compromise between Democrats pushing for the bill and Republicans concerned about the cost.
This morning, we're following the Supreme Court's landmark decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, and we're taking a closer look at the services available for women with unwanted pregnancies who decide to carry their babies to term. ABC's Devin Dwyer joins us now from outside the Supreme Court with more on that. Devin, good morning again.
Good morning again, Whit. Pregnancy support has been a key promise of abortion rights opponents. Now maternity homes and resource centers are bracing for a surge of demand.
This is not a moment to celebrate. I'm not celebrating.
This morning, Baltimore Archbishop William Laurie, the cleric leading the Catholic Church's campaign against abortion, says the real work is just beginning.
The church is not just about bans. Not only do we provide services, we are robust advocates for the poor and needy and vulnerable.
Religious institutions like the Catholic Church have long pledged unconditional emotional and financial aid to women in crisis pregnancies. Now comes a big test.
Are the resources there to adequately meet those needs?
I don't think we should underestimate the generosity either of the charities and services we provide or of God's people.
In Texas, after SB 8 banned nearly all abortions, a wave of women have been seeking out financial support. 84,000 signing up so far this year with a state program for women with unwanted pregnancies.
This is our community baby closet.
Texas Catholic aid programs are seeing an impact too.
Having a wait list now, we're already trying to gear up and make sure that we can meet the current need, in addition to any increase that we might see.
Casey Whitley oversees the Gabriel Project in Fort Worth that provides women with diapers and formula and a volunteer angel to give moral support. Critics say it's far from enough.
The amount of care and social work and life skill training that these women need is massive.
Many healthcare providers worry desperate women will still take desperate measures to get an abortion.
What will happen is what happens everywhere in the world, and that is that there will be a huge underground market.
The American Public Health Association saying abortion bans will lead to elevated risks of maternal mortality and infant mortality.
Do you worry that this transition to less abortion access in America could end up harming some women?
Since Roe v. Wade, it's been 63 million abortions. That's a lot of loss of life.
Critics say abortion opponents must now step up calls for social programs that support life, like a higher minimum wage, nutrition assistance, and paid family leave. States with the most restrictive abortion laws have invested the least in policies and programs for women and children.
To deny someone what is for them essential care is wrong. I think it's a sin.
Archbishop Lori told me the Catholic Church, one of the most influential religious institutions in America, is fully behind expansion of those social safety net programs. But now, guys, after the court's decision, many watching closely to see whether abortion opponents can deliver. Janae?
And they will be watching. Devin, we appreciate you pulling double duty for us. Welcome back to GMA and how Americans are running up the debt on their credit cards as inflation climbs. It can be tempting to rely on plastic, but you will pay dearly in the end. Here's ABC's Deirdre Bolton.
This morning, soaring inflation forcing millions of households to stretch their dollars further by putting charges on their credit cards. Americans carry an average of $6,194 in credit card debt. In May of this year, Americans had a collective balance of $856 billion, up from $757 billion in May 2021.
We're starting to see credit card debt move up. We're also starting to see that savings that had been accumulated over the past couple of years during the pandemic start to run down.
According to Bankrate, more than one in three Americans have less emergency savings now than 1 year ago. And with Moody's Analytics calculating that American households are spending an additional $341 a month to purchase the same goods and services compared to 2021, the rising prices are upending the budgets of millions of Americans.
It's really scary because it doesn't seem like it's going to get better anytime soon.
Inflation is hitting low and moderate income households the hardest. And that credit card debt's going up at a time that interest rates are also going up.
Experts are also tracking credit card delinquencies. And while they are up, they are still near record lows. But carrying over that existing balance is getting more expensive. The average credit card interest rate is currently just shy of 17% and only expected to climb. In this economy, there is little room for error, and for many, getting out of debt can seem overwhelming.
We are stuffing my cash envelopes.
Viral TikToker Lily RN Budgets says she racked up over $20,000 in credit card debt while attending nursing school, but managed to pay it all off by using a technique called cash stuffing.
Cash stuffing is essentially taking all of your spending that you would do like on a credit card or debit card, for example, and using strictly cash. And basically, it's just a way to keep yourself more disciplined and stay within a budget rather than just swiping a card recklessly.
Remember to call the company and negotiate a lower rate. If you have good credit, they will team. I want to work with you.
All right. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Deirdre, thank you so much. So coming up here on Good Morning America, Eva sits down with the owners of New York City's historic Stonewall Inn on the importance of the landmark to the LGBTQ plus community.
Back now on this Pride Sunday, as we celebrate this weekend, we look back at where it all started. The Stonewall Inn in 1969, its patrons made history fighting back against a police raid, sparking the modern day LGBTQ plus movement. I had the chance to sit down with the current Stonewall innkeepers who are on a mission to pass that rich history on to the next generation. When did you guys acquire the Stonewall Inn?
So what happened was our bud read.
came and said that the Stonewall's going under. So we had to jump through hoops to get this together. At the time in 2006, it wasn't treated as the historical value that it had. We renovated it to look like a gay bar in the 60s if it was legal.
Well, and it's interesting because people all over the world know about the Stonewall Inn and what happened here.
Yes. Since day one, every day there's people at that window taking pictures of the Stonewall.
We worked really, really hard, to be honest with you, to educate a younger generation, to get the word back out there about what Stonewall meant and what our elders, our LGBTQ elders, did for us.
It's for people where they come to mourn, where we come to celebrate. We're the innkeepers of history. So we wanted it out there. We wanted it treated better.
The Stonewall Inn is the original safe space. This is the place where everyone in the community came together, even back in 1969. It's a living, breathing piece of history. And I think we know that we have that responsibility to keep it that way.
What would you say to those people who are allies like me, who want to be supportive and helpful? How can they help?
Right. I would say vote. I mean, again, the Equality Act, it has not been passed, right? And that's an Equality Act that would really, on all federal level, make sure that we are equal. There's still laws in states where we can't adopt. You know, up until 3 years ago, we could still be fired for being LGBTQ in 28 states, and that finally made law of the land. And also, again, at the state level, so many laws that are going against our community. So I would say get out and vote. Is really critical.
And also support and show your presence that you are supportive of us, that you are equal with us.
And you can watch Out Loud ABC News Celebrates Pride Live on ABC News Live, Hulu, and ABC 7 here in New York, starting at 11 a.m., anchored by Gio Benitez, Diane Macedo, and LZ Granderson. It's cool. They have an initiative where they create safe spaces. Brooklyn Brewery teamed up with them for a special beer, so you can celebrate and help a good cause at the same time.
So much history there, and as you pointed out, this movement worldwide started in this one place here in New York.
This little bar in the West Village.
Cool.
We'll be right back with Pop News.
It's time now for Pop News. Our friend Megan Wright in the house with that. Megan, good morning.
Good morning. And we start with tonight's BET Awards. Sean Diddy Combs, a.k.a. Love, is being presented with the prestigious Lifetime Achievement Award. And the record executive producer and artist will take the stage with the likes of Mary J. Blige, Lil' Kim, and Busta Rhymes in a performance that will be retrospective of his musical legacy. Other performers include Lil Wayne, Chance the Rapper, and Lizzo. The evening is being hosted by Golden Globe winner Taraji P. Henson.
Wait, did you say Diddy has a new AKA?
Yes, he does. He does. I wanted to make sure you guys knew. It's Love.
Love.
Yes.
I did not know
it
this.
It is Love.
Okay, it took me a while to get to Diddy. Because you guys stumbling like, Diddy? Okay, Love. Yeah. I like it. All right.
Next up to Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o. And not everyone's tale of lost luggage ends like hers. The Black Panther star modeling a whole new wardrobe on Instagram, look at this, writing that the airline lost her luggage, but luxury Italian fashion house Dolce & Gabbana came to the rescue. How nice is that?
What?
A great ending to a real fashion emergency.
I want Dolce & Gabbana to come to my rescue.
Yes, yes. And finally, Star Wars fans can turn their TV to the dark side. LG and Lucasfilm putting a special edition 65-inch TV on sale that channels Darth Vader. The power of sound features the former Jedi's deep breathing. That's a little scary. There's also a Galactic Empire insignia, exclusive artwork, and a remote that moves and sounds like your own personal lightsaber. The price, a big bag of Beskar or $3,000.
Wow.
Who's getting one?
Okay, see, I'm into Star Wars, but heavy breathing while I'm sleeping, you know,
Darth
in my room.
Darth Vader was not the good guy. I don't know that I want to put him in my home.
That's great. Good point.
Bad juju.
Good point.
But good Megan.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
Got to inform everybody.
I'm still calling him Puff Daddy, by the way. So it's like we've moved on. We're now on to Love. Okay, thanks so much. News you can use, folks. Thanks so much for watching. Good morning, America. Of course, as we celebrate Pride Month here at ABC News, ABC's audio podcast, Life Out Loud with LZ Granderson. You can get that wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, stay tuned for this week later on this morning. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.